marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that excels our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. We sang this at the prayer meeting, and we're going to sing it now in worship today. Seated. The psalm for today is the 70th psalm, just a little one. Let's read God's word just before we pray. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt.
let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. May God bless his word as we've read it together. I'm going to bow in prayer. Good to see all who have come. We've been rejoicing with Lydia in good news. We know that she has set before the congregation and Ryan too the prayer request for her health coming through cancer treatment. And the news on Friday was good, that her body has responded very well and that the cancer is almost gone from her body. She will continue until the end of August with treatment, but that treatment will be lesser than what she has been receiving. And so we say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done, and he has answered prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Let's call upon his name. Lord, as we come to your house today, as we come to seek to worship Almighty God, the God who is the creator of all things, the God who is the sustainer of everything in this universe, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, and the God of redemption who has opened the way of salvation through the blood of Christ's cross. We do so with rejoicing and thanksgiving in our heart, thanking thee for your grace that we've been singing about in this opening hymn has emphasized God's grace, his marvelous grace, that grace that has found so many of us today in love and mercy. We can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. And it was your grace that opened up the way, drew us with irresistible power to Christ, enabled us to repent of our sin and to believe the gospel, your saving grace. And then, Lord, we thank you for your sustaining grace, grace that upholds us day by day, that carries us through, that enables us to walk the Christian life. We pray that you will continue to give us that grace that we might please the Lord, that we might walk in this world in a manner that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then, Lord, we thank you for the sufficient grace, that grace that the apostle spoke about or recorded when, in a time of ill health in his life, he was told by the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, we know that in the trials of life and the difficulties that we face, there is still that sufficient grace for us to carry us through. Lord, you've been with Lydia in these weeks and months. You have helped her, sustained her, brought her and Ryan and the family through the journey that they've been on thus far. And Lord, we thank you for that grace that they've experienced and can testify of. And Lord, we do rejoice with them today in the good news that came from the consultant or the nurse. We pray that you'll continue to bless Lydia and restore her to health and strength. We pray that you'll touch her and be with her. And remember the others in the church that are sick and laid aside, greatly in need of the Master's touch. Be with them too. And all, Lord, that are passing through trouble and trial, we often remind ourselves that Jesus said that in this world ye shall have tribulation. Lord, though we do not look for it, we do not invite it, yet it comes. And in the midst of it all, You give grace to carry us through our particular circumstances. And so, Lord, you know individuals here that are greatly in need of that grace. Today, we pray that you will grant it to them. Bless and sanctify this Lord's Day, that which has already taken place in church, in the teaching of the children and the young people, and that which is yet to come, not only our gospel meeting tonight, but the special service this afternoon. We look to thee for the grace that is needed to make this day what it ought to be. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 372, gone from my heart, the world with all its charm. Now through the blood I'm saved from sin's alarm. Down at the cross my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus washes white as snow. And the refrain just speaks of the love that we have for the Lord. I love him. Good to be able to say that from the heart. Let's all stand to sing. Gone from my heart. Good to have you in God's house today, so a very warm word of welcome to all that have gathered. If you're not normally with us on the Lord's Day, we're extra specially glad to see you. And the extended family of Mrs. Mills is in, that's lovely, and we welcome you particularly in the Lord's great name. If you're part of the service on the internet, we also give you a very warm word of welcome to this service. And we trust that where you are, where you're sitting, where you're joining in, whether it's Sermon Audio, Facebook, or YouTube, that you'll be blessed. There's a special meeting this afternoon. It's the Ballymoney District Service here. They're coming to the church for 3:30. They'll be praying here, so remember that. If you can come and join us, I know that they'll be encouraged by your presence. Then our gospel service is at 7 o'clock, and I want to speak on the speaking voice of God. The prayer meeting is at 6:30. Refreshments will be served afterwards, and ladies, if you can help with that, we appreciate all that you do. In the morning, mother and toddlers, Hebron Tots, will take place at 10 o'clock. And then on Monday evening, there's a management committee meeting of our school at 8 o'clock. Wednesday evening is a special night. It's the ladies' fellowship. Mrs. Arlene Gray, the wife of the Reverend John Gray from Tandragee is coming to speak to the ladies, and Rebecca McCauley will be singing. So ladies, invite your friends, bring them in, have a good meeting, and share this on social media if you can, and make others aware of the special service on Wednesday. Thursday is the midweek service as we come for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship, and that's at 8 o'clock. And this Thursday, there'll be special prayer for our Christian school. Young people, your meeting is on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Be good to see all of you out. And then on Friday also for the elders, it's the presbytery in our Dungannon Church. Saturday morning, the Ballymoney Open Air taking place, God willing, outside the Danske Bank, will be at 11 a.m. Next Lord's Day, prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. Sunday school is at 10:30, and Bible class at 10:45. And our brother Phil will be dealing with Behold the Man, the Savior's wonderful prayer at Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Worship service is 12 noon. Family night service, 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer. And Colin McKee is coming to testify. Faith, farming, and food. If you know Colin and his background, you'll understand the title that he has put on his testimony. And it's how the Lord saved him, preserved his life through a time of illness and a serious accident, and how the Lord has blessed and guided him and his family as he has sought to do his will. And again, this can be shared with others. If you have access to our Facebook, share it with others and let them know, invite them to come. Supper will be served. And ladies, you can bring that little bit extra, half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. Well, thank you in anticipation of your help. Now, next Sunday night, this is a wee message now for young adults. You're a young adult in this church. You're 18 and up, kind of youth fellowship age, the older section of the youth fellowship. We want to meet you next Sunday night and have a wee chat with you with some thoughts in our minds of what we can do to encourage you and help you, especially if you know the Lord, to walk with God. And we want just to talk to you about the possibility of having a young adults get together on a regular basis. So please try to be here next Sunday night and wait after the meeting. Refreshments will be served, as we've announced. Now, the Hebron Youth Sunday is creeping up on us just 2 weeks from today, the 12th of May, and our young people will take part, and those connected to our youth will be doing the preaching. Just to mention again, there's a work day that has been set aside for the end of May, Saturday the 25th, to do some work in and around the church. Looking ahead to September, we're keeping this in mind. We want you to pray for the mission in the high school. And start praying now that God will make it a real success and gather people in under the sound of the word. In Lisburn, they're having this first meeting of its kind. It's called Helping Hands, Grace in Action. And this will be, as you see from the advert, an occasional fellowship for all who are experiencing challenging circumstances through disability, illness, or anxiety, whether young or old. All are welcome to join for praise in the word with the opportunity to meet new friends around a light lunch. That's Saturday the 18th of May at 1 o'clock. I'll not read all this announcement because we did it last week, but Sandown Annual Summer Camp is the 22nd to the 26th of July, and you can go on Sandown's Facebook page if you're interested in getting the details, maybe sending your young people to that. Now, yesterday was a very special day for Kirsty because Kirsty has been in training with Crown College for almost a year, and this was the going to say the passing out parade, but it's the kind of graduation, a ceremony to recognize six of the young people who have completed this part of the course. And you should be able to hear, because you weren't there yesterday. My wife and I had the privilege of being there together with Kirsty's parents, but you should be able to hear this little slide now as we play it to you.
Kirsty Wallace. These are all of our graduates, and we've had others, of course, studying with
us. It was held in a tent, a marquee, and the weather was dry enough, but it was extremely cold, very, very cold. Somehow England is getting colder weather than we are, and I think we have found April to be cold. It was a very good day, and as I said, there were six of them, one from Northern Ireland, one from Wales, one from England, and three from the Netherlands. And these are the others that graduated yesterday along with Kirsty. That's the young man who was ill. You remember when they visited Northern Ireland, he took ill the night they were here in Ballymoney. But he's well recovered, and we thank God for the training that these young people have received. Now, one more little video to show you, and that is of a verse of one of the songs that they sang, just so that you can feel that you were kind of there and rejoice with Kirsty. Next time we sing that great hymn. Continue to pray for the sick of the congregation. Each and every one that you see in the list needs the Lord, needs the touch of the Lord in their life. Last Thursday night we had the Hamiltons with us, Glenn and Emma, and we want you to continue to pray for them as they prepare for the land of Kenya. They are scheduled to go there in the month of September as a family to serve the Lord. Some of the things that they asked for prayer concerning was language, culture, the logistics of it all, medical needs, the kids as they uproot, and the whole family, in fact, as they leave family and say goodbye, work team that has gone out, and also the Glory Bible Church that they'll be working alongside, which is the name of the church that is under the Free Presbyterian Church. We're going to keep the deputation offering open just for today. So if you have anything that you want to give to help the Hamiltons go to the land of Kenya, just put it in the basket at the door and encourage them. Remember, the team that has gone, they're doing work on the home that the Hamiltons will be living in, and they have gone out just this past week to Kenya. Remember the barbecue and auction that is being held on Saturday, the 1st of June. This is at the Haffey Farm. And the funds will go to the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. And that's at 6 o'clock in the evening. We continue to pray for all that's taking place in the war in Ukraine. It's a very volatile country. And we pray for those that are serving the Lord there, those that we know who have gone back, and they do keep in touch with us. We heard a little report from our sister Nan concerning the Sloan family. They are having meetings every day except Saturday. So every day, several hundred people are gathering in to hear God's word. And they also have started an orphanage, and there's 80 children or thereabouts in that orphanage that need to be looked after and fed and clothed every single day. So the Sloans are from Coleraine, and we want to remember even what they do as they serve the Lord there. In the land of Israel, we continue to pray for the war there, that God will bring these wars to an end. We bring our tithes and offerings and worship to God now as we sing together 371, members of the Home Mission Outreach envelopes that are due today. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee, all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. We'll keep our seats as the offering is taken. Studying Mark, his gospel, meditations in this gospel, and we've been here for quite some time now. We come to message 108, and our Bible reading is chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. I'm not sure if any of you are seeing men as trees walking, that your vision's just not what it ought to be because you're missing your glasses. And you will know that there's a number of glasses here. There's actually more. There's another pair has been, and I just can't believe it's visitors that are leaving their glasses behind. They're maybe yours. So there's a green pair, there's two red pair, there's a black pair, and there's the one that is missing a lens. Not much good probably to you. And then there's a new pair here. All right. And they've got a box and all for it to, you know, to hold the glasses. If these are yours, please take them but they're no good to me. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all that has gone before. We're here principally to meet with our God and to worship him. And in these hymns that we've sung together, we've sought to do that. And Lord, take our worship, weak and feeble though it is, and Lord, we pray that you'll be honored through it. We do mean with all of our hearts when we sing, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine." And Lord, as we think of what is being taught now in this part of the Gospel of Mark, we pray that you will speak to us. And Lord, let not one leave the house of God today without hearing from heaven, without hearing from the Lord himself. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this religious question in the section that we've read. And you will know, if you've been with us this past number of Sundays, that three questions are put to the Lord. The first question was a political question put by the Herodians and the Pharisees. And that political question was to do with Caesar. And should we pay our taxes? And of course, the Lord taught them what they ought to do. They ought to pay their taxes. The second question was a theological question, and it was asked by the Sadducees. And it was to do with the resurrection that they didn't even believe in. And they drew from the Old Testament scriptures that if a woman was married to a particular man and he died before they could have any children, and she married as the law was her brother and so forth, until seven brothers had all married the same wife, which is really something that I don't think could happen. But they're putting this question to the Lord and asking about the resurrection. Whose wife is she going to be whenever everybody is raised from the dead? And the Lord pointed out their error. They didn't know the scriptures. They didn't know what the Bible taught when it came to these things concerning the resurrection. The third question is a religious question. And this time it is asked by the scribes who come to the Lord in these verses that we've read. And it may be that this particular scribe who stands forward representing the others, who put this question to Christ, was more sincere than the other man. For Jesus saw, we're told here, that he answered discreetly. That word discreetly means wisely. And declared, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." So this man got so far in the question and the answer that he hadn't much further to go to grasp the truth and come to a knowledge, a true knowledge of God, and to enter into the kingdom of Christ. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Scribes in the Old Testament were chiefly copiers of the law and other parts of Scripture. Many of them would have taught the statutes and judgments of God. In the New Testament, they were lawyers, they were teachers and interpreters of the law. And the great scribes, what they taught became oral tradition. At the time of Christ, they had attained tremendous influence among the people. The Sanhedrin, which was the governing body of the Jewish people religiously, made up of 70 individuals, had many of the scribes among their members. Most of them were greatly prejudiced against Christ. They murmured at him, or they found fault with much of his teachings, and a great percentage of them were responsible for his death. There were, however, a few of them who were kindly disposed to Christ and believed his teachings. In the Gospel of Matthew, for example, chapter 8 and verse 19, there was a certain scribe who said publicly to Jesus, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." He certainly seemed to be an earnest and a very conscientious man. "Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to be your disciple." The scribe in Mark chapter 12 who came to Christ with his question perhaps was more interested in the Lord's answers, and he was inquisitive in a good sense. We are told that he heard these other men reasoning together, and he perceived that Christ had answered them well. His question was about the commandments of God. Which is the first commandment of all? What is the number one commandment? What would you put top of the list? What is it that God requires more than anything else? The Bible commentator Matthew Henry said he inquired, which is the first commandment of all? He does not mean the first in order, but the first in weight and dignity. Which is that command which we ought to have in a special manner an eye to, and our obedience to which will lay a foundation for our obedience to all the rest? Not that any commandment of God is little. They are all the commands of a great God, but some are greater than others, moral precepts than rituals, and some, we may say, they are the greatest of all. So as this man asked the question, the Lord gives to him a very straight and direct answer. And we read it in verse 29 through to verse 30. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Our Savior is quoting from God's law, quoting from the Scriptures as he gives the answer. And he's actually quoting from the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 6. Let me read to you just two short verses, 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And our Savior, he finishes his answer by declaring, "There is none other commandment greater than these." So what is the greatest commandment of all? It is the commandment of love. More than anything else, God is looking for your love and for mine. And that's where I want to begin this little study. I want to think about the synopsis of the great commandment. I have 3 points that I want to make. I'll try to get through this, but we might have to leave the third point to next week. because today we're pressed for a little time. This afternoon we have an extra meeting. But the synopsis of the great commandment, the summary of it all, if you like, is in this one word, love. The great commandment can be summarized just in one word, and that's love. Jesus teaches that this is the first of all the commands that God gave. You will know that it stands right at the top of the list in the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. But right there at the top of the list is that of love. If you get this commandment right, and you obey this commandment, everything else is going to fall into its rightful place in your life. If you love the Lord, you will obey Him. If you love Him, you will serve Him. If you love Him, you will seek Him. You will follow Him. You will run after Him. Think of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. And now, O Israel, the question is asked, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? And the answer is given, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His judgments, which I command thee this day for thy good. What does God require of man? And there are five things that are mentioned. And in any scriptural five, the center one is always the most important one. And here, of course, it is love. These five requisites are all important, but the center one is all important. We can obey God without loving Him. But if we love Him, obedience is going to follow. Why do I want to spend time with the Lord? Why do I want to pray? Why do I want to read the Bible? Why do I want to worship God on the Lord's day and come to His house and be with the Lord's people in a setting like this? Why do I keep His commandments? Why do I want to serve the Lord in any capacity? Why do I want to seek to live a holy life in this earth? Why do I want to maintain good relationships with other people? Why do I want to make sure that the sun never goes down upon my wrath? Why do I want to be a witness for Christ? Why do I want to maintain a good testimony before the world in general and before my brethren and sisters in Christ in particular? Simply for this reason, I love God. If I break His commandments, if I disobey His word, if I willfully neglect what He has clearly taught in the Bible, if I refuse to live by the standards that He has given, it's an indication I don't love the Lord. It's as simple as that. And we need to see that. Can I take you to John chapter 14, please? If you turn over in the Word of God to John chapter 14 for a moment or two. I think everyone is familiar with this scene. It's the night before the cross. The Lord is gathered together with His disciples for the Lord's table, for the institution of the communion, to remember Him in His death, which would shortly take place the next morning, in fact. And there they are. They're gathered around the table with the Lord, and the Lord has things to say to them, important things. You might say this is the dying wish of the Lord. He's going to die the next morning, and now He's gathered His disciples together to give them instructions and to teach them things that are so important for them to know before His death. So we read in this passage of Scripture the dying wishes of Christ. He talks to them about heaven. He talks to them about the power of prayer. He speaks to them about the Spirit of Truth, the blessed Comforter who would come into the world to reprove the ungodly of their sin, but also to be the teacher of his church and to instruct the people of God. He speaks to them about the union that he enjoyed with them under the thought of the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, and you and I that are connected to him and saved by grace, we are the branches, and therefore we are united to the vine. He speaks to them about his sacrifice at the cross when he said the words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And preeminently, Jesus was speaking about the next morning when he would be crucified for their sin. He speaks to them about fruitfulness, because he had ordained them to bring forth fruit and that their fruit should remain. But he also speaks to them, very importantly, about this subject that we're dealing with now, the subject of love, the love that they should have the one for the other. And we'll come to that under the third point when we eventually get to that, but also the love that they should have for him and the evidence of that love. And so I want you to mark just a few verses. First of all, John 14 and verse 15. And I want you to mark these carefully. These are the words of Christ. These are the dying wishes of Christ. This is the night before the cross. He's got the disciples around the table. This is a heart-to-heart conversation that he's having with them. And here he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." All right? If you love me, that's the love that we ought to have for him. And what is the evidence of it? Keeping his commandments. Note also verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Look at verses 23 and 24. "If a man love me," verse 23, just in the center part of it, "he will keep my words." And again in verse 24, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." And then if you turn over to what John wrote many, many years later, and he's keeping the same theme, 1 John, and I want you to notice here just a couple of verses in 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." It's not a grievous thing to obey the Lord. Obeying the Lord doesn't make you sad, it doesn't make you unhappy, it doesn't make you miserable. In fact, it's the highest sense of joy when we live according to the Bible. If you want to be the happiest person on earth, live according to what God has taught in his word. And Jesus is teaching here the night before his death, and then John is teaching again many, many years later before his own death. If you love Christ, you will obey him. You will walk in obedience to him. There's a very sad characteristic that's going to be prevalent in the end times. We're living in the end times. I think as we look around us in the world and we see what's happening, if we're reading our Bibles at all and we see the signs of the times that are abounding today and we see the wars, you think of Ukraine, you think of Israel, you think of many other places in the world where there is warring and fighting, all pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we think of these end times, Jesus tells us in one of the greatest sermons that he ever preached in Matthew 24 and 25, as he speaks about the character of that age in which he will come, do you know what he says? "The love of many will wax cold." The word "wax" just simply means grow. The love of many, not just a few, but many of his people in the end times, for whatever reason, it is going to grow cold. This love, which is the first commandment of all, this love that ought to be first in our lives, preeminent, every day that we walk in this world, is going to, in many lives, grow cold. Watch out for that, dear child of God. Put the checks in. Every day, guard your love for God. An understanding of our forgiveness will be one of the greatest motives to love the Lord. Will you turn just for a moment or two to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 7? I wish I could read all the passage here, but if you want to mark verse 36 right through to verse 47, the narrative is telling us about a Pharisee who wanted the Lord to come and have a meal with him. And of course, this the Lord Jesus Christ did. He received the invitation, he responded to it, and he went to eat in this Pharisee's home. While he is there, there's a woman who comes, a wicked sinner from that village that was well known in the community for the life, the kind of life that she lived. And she comes in and she stands at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is weeping profusely. And she washes, we're told, the feet of Christ with her tears. And she opens up a precious box of spikenard ointment, and she pours it upon the face of, or the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this really is saying to him, Lord, I love you. It is reckoned that this lady maybe recently had come to put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps unknown to the Pharisee who was hosting this dinner. And therefore, he's not understanding what's happening. He doesn't understand this act of love. But there she is. She's at the feet of Christ, washing his feet, pouring the ointment on his feet, just with that simple declaration of her heart, Lord, I love you. The Pharisee, of course, looks at what's happening, doesn't understand fully what she is doing, but he begins to murmur within himself. And then the Lord has some words to say to him, because he had come into his home. It was traditional to wash the feet of your guests. You think of the dusty climate, the hot climate of Israel. And when in these days you have gone into a person's home, one of the things they would have done by way of hospitality was to wash your feet. This Pharisee didn't do that. Didn't do anything like what this woman had done unto Christ. But the Lord has something to teach this man. And he tells him a story, reading his heart, knowing what he's thinking. He tells a story about a creditor who had two debtors. And one creditor owed much more than the other, but he forgave them. He canceled their debt. And he asked the question, who loved the most? And the person that was forgiven the most, or whose debt was the greater and canceled out, he loved the most. And I want you to see what the Lord says by way of application to this man. He turned to the woman in verse 44 and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Now mark verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but unto whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And my dear friends, I want you to see what the Lord is teaching here. When we come to an understanding of forgiveness and the mercy of God to you and I, and I know I'm dealing with a congregation and your past is different, different than the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. But when we think of our sin, our many sins, and some have committed great sins, when we understand our forgiveness and the mercy of God towards us, listen, we will love him. We will love him much. And the more that he has forgiven you and me, the more we're going to love him. That's the principle that the Lord is teaching here. And the great synopsis of the great commandment is love. And the command demands obedience. My second point is the spirit of the great commandment. And the spirit of the great commandment is all in the word all. It's used four times in our text. And it is to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. It's wholehearted love. That's the spirit. Our heart is the center of all that we are, all that we are. Isn't that what Jesus said? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you want to know yourself, what are you thinking in your heart? Every day, Jesus says, as you think in your heart, that's the kind of person that you really are. And if your heart is filled with love for the Lord towards him, that is going to be reflected in every aspect of your life. Your whole walk in this world will be dictated by this. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he will be first. He will occupy top position. You will live for him. You will glorify him. You will seek to live in the light of eternity. You will avoid everything that offends him. If you really love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll seek to avoid those things that displease him. Matthew Henry said, loving God with all your heart will effectually take us off from and arm us against all those things that are rivals with him for the throne of our souls, and will engage us to everything by which he may be honored and with which he will be pleased, and no commandment will be grievous where this principle commands and has the ascendant. You will say, the dearest idol I possess, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from its throne and worship only thee, if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You'll not have something else enthroned in your heart that's above God. Let me just quote something that Spurgeon said. I love to read Spurgeon, and this is what he said concerning this command. We are to love God supremely. Thou art to love thy wife, O husband. Thou canst not love her too much, except in one case, if thou shouldest love her before God and prefer her pleasure to the pleasure of the Most High. Then wouldest thou be an idolater. Children, thou art to love thy parents. Thou canst not love him too much who begat thee, or her too much who brought thee forth. But remember, there is one law that doth override that. Thou art to love thy God more than thy father or thy mother. He demands thy first love and thy highest affection. Thou art to love him with all thy heart. We are to love our relatives. We are taught to do so. He that doth not love his own family is worse than a heathen man and a publican. But we are not to love the dearest object of our hearts so much as we love God. Ye may erect little thrones for those whom ye rightly love, but God's throne must be a gloriously high throne. You may set them upon the steps, but God must sit on the very seat itself. He is to be enthroned, the royal one, within your heart, the king of your affections. Say, hearer, hast thou kept this commandment? I know I have not. I must plead guilty before God. I must cast myself before him and acknowledge my transgression. But nevertheless, there standeth the commandment, thou shalt love God with all thy heart. That is, thou shalt love him supremely. So said Spurgeon in his day. And what a great challenge that is. No wonder God says to you and me, especially if you are a believer today, my son, give me thine heart. God wants your heart. He wants the love of your heart. He wants you and I to love him with all of our heart, to love him firstly, to love him supremely, to love him heartily, enthusiastically, and deeply. That is the spirit of the great commandment, is to love with all our being the God that we profess to know and to love. May God help us to love that way. And next week, in the will of the Lord, we'll come to the next little part, which is the supplement to the great commandment. And that brings us to loving our neighbor as ourselves. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ when he tells us here what the first commandment is all about, and it is to love God with all our heart, soul, with all our mind and our strength. And Father, we pray that we'll live this way, that we will seek by your grace to obey this command, and then we know that everything else will fall into its proper place in our lives. So take us from church today with the words of the Savior ringing in our minds and in our souls, and help us to live for your glory in the way that our Savior has taught. In Jesus' name, amen. 619 is the closing hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. So often this is a hymn that has been sung at weddings and all, but of course the great application of it is the love that we ought to have for God himself. Think of the words as we sing. Let's rise and sing. Father, we thank you for the love that we have for each other. We thank you for the love that you've put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to love our God supremely. Help us to live by it, and dismiss us with your blessing as we leave the house of God today, and continue to abide with us through the afternoon, on into the evening, and the other meetings that are still to take place. Own them, bless them, be one of our number. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.